3 years ago, North Carolina became the first state in the country where death row inmates could have their sentences reduced to life with parole if they could prove their sentence was influenced by racial bias. Here's State Senator Floyd McKissick in 2009 explaining why this bill was so powerful.
When a prosecutor decides to seek the death penalty, if there's reason to believe he's doing it because of the race of the victim or of the defendant, then they can challenge that from the very beginning.
So 3 years on, the statute is now under threat. A bill to repeal the act passed the state house last year, and now it will probably pass the state senate this week. The bill wouldn't completely repeal the Racial Justice Act. An effort to do that very thing was vetoed by the governor. But this bill would severely limit an inmate's ability to show bias through race. Joining us now to explain is Professor Neil Vidmar, professor of law and psychology at Duke Law School, who joins us on the phone from Durham, North Carolina. Professor, nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you.
So, first of all, let's talk about exactly what this act, that's just a reminder on exactly what this act did, the Racial Justice Act of 2009. It allowed death row inmates to do what?
It allowed them to challenge their sentence of death on the basis of some form of racial discrimination in selecting the jury.
To how many did this apply?
In theory, to all of them, and there were 158, but 157, for various reasons, have actually appealed the death sentence.
So an effort to actually just repeal the Racial Justice Act, as I said, was vetoed. But what does this new bill do? Why do people say that it would basically gut the initial act?
Well, basically, it's because it would take away the thrust of the actual act. One of the things that should be made very clear is, you know, murders are terrible things, and this does not end up allowing them ever to get out of jail. They are sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. But the issues are, you know, especially with North Carolina, like many states in the South, it has a history of racial prejudice. And the research that was done by Barbara O'Brien, Catherine Grosso, George Woodworth, very, very competently done, showed that there was systematic bias in these cases, many of them, that excluded African Americans from the jury.
And in fact, there's also a pretty overwhelming evidence that, in fact, someone who kills a white person is far more likely to receive the death penalty than someone kills a person of color, any color.
Yes, that, in fact, is true as well. Now, again, one should be clear that this does not necessarily mean that it is an open act of racism. It happens to be a more subtle process that works out through the adversary system, where the prosecution's on one side, the defense is on the other, and, you know, we are allowed, under our laws, throughout the United States, to challenge jurors on the basis of the fact that they may not be fair and impartial.
We're speaking with Professor Neil Vidmar. He's professor of law and psychology at Duke Law School, and we're talking about the Racial Justice Act of 2009 in North Carolina, which could, in fact, be not repealed but gutted. And, in fact, there was one case this spring in which a Superior Court judge wrote a 167-page opinion that said there was highly reliable statistical evidence that there's racism that's affecting death row sentences. And then we get this response from Representative Rick Glaser, who spoke now. This is the clip from him speaking at the North Carolina General Assembly.
Statistical evidence can never be sufficient. Never. Not 1 in 10 trillion, not 1 in 10 trillion squared. It can never prove the case.
So is he correct that really this bill is aimed at statistics and not individual defendants?
No. He's just wrong. He's just dead wrong. The evidence is very clear, and this is the case of Marcus Robinson. It showed that three times as many black jurors were eliminated from the jury during what is called the voir dire process, or selecting the jury. Three times as many African Americans were eliminated by the prosecution as white persons, even though both the whites and blacks gave similar kinds of answers to the questions. One of the things that happens in any case, but especially in a death penalty case, is if somebody has reservations about the death penalty, that they could not overcome those reservations, that would be violating the law, because the law says we have capital punishment. And in this instance, white jurors who said, well, maybe I have some doubts, they were kept on the jury. And black persons who said, well, maybe I have some doubts, they tended to be excluded.
So, I mean, other people have looked at this law, the Racial Justice Act, and seen it as perhaps a model that could be used in other states. So if it is, in fact, largely gutted, what does that mean nationally? What are the national implications?
Well, the national implications may, I mean, this happens to be a novel, I say novel in the sense it's a new idea. It is a fresh idea that is basically addressing a question of racial imbalance, and it would have implications for other states as well, I think.
How do you then fix this the other way around? Let's say we get rid of the idea of appealing death sentences, and we try to fix it on the other side so that there's not racial bias in the initial sentencing.
Well, that is exactly the problem. Would you exclude African Americans from the death from any jury, not just death penalty juries, but we're speaking specifically about death penalty juries? There are three reasons. One is, many of these crimes have a particular content to them that African Americans can actually have an understanding of certain aspects of the case that perhaps whites don't, because they have different cultural experiences and backgrounds. And that is what the purpose is. We select people in our jury system so that they can bring all kinds of perspectives onto this. This doesn't, some might be against the defendant in the case, but the fact of the matter is that we exclude people in the process and affect the deliberation of the jury, and that's what the jury is all about. The second thing is, sometimes racism pops up in these trials.
Right.
And frequently, having a black person or several black persons on the jury ends up affecting the process. People do not express the same kind of racism.
And we'll have to leave it there. Neil Vidmar is professor of law and psychology at Duke Law School. Thanks so much for joining us.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.